You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Yesterday, I spoke to my friend Brianna Ward, who is taking on the immense physical challenge of swimming the Fivo Strait, or Te Ara Akiwa, to raise awareness for shark conservation. As you may know, that's the strait between the bottom of the South Island and Rakiura Stewart Island, and it's a great white shark breeding ground. No stranger to undertaking endurance challenges for environmental causes, you may recognise Brianna from an interview I did with her a few years ago about cycling to save our coastlines, where she biked the length of the North Island, cleaning up beaches and raising awareness for plastic pollution. Bri has also swum Lake Taupo and the Cook Strait, and she will be just the 11th person to swim the 28-kilometre Fivo Strait. I began by asking her, how long does a swim like that take?
Hopefully around 9 hours, but ideally I will be trying to do it as fast as possible, because the longer that you're in the water, the more likely you are to become hypothermic. You want to get across as quickly as possible, but a lot of that won't be in my control. Just have to train as much as I can over the winter and be as ready as I can.
What time of year are you going to try and swim? Are you going to aim for summer so it's as warm as possible?
Yeah, definitely. Probably be around February. That's kind of when the temperature of the strait gets the warmest.
And unfortunately, what is it at its warmest?
I think that when other people have done it, it's been around 16 degrees. That's like pretty warm for the strait, but I would be hoping to try and train to be ready for like 12 degrees. There's like a big variation it could be. Likely around between 13 and 15.
And so what does that training look like? How do you train to swim in such cold conditions?
Well, I live in the city, so I have a paddling pool in my backyard. And I've been sitting in that and just swimming in the sea lots, swimming in lakes. It gets quite cold down here in Christchurch. And I'm hoping to do an ice mile over the winter, so that'll be really good training as well. And then lots of pool training as well, because you need distance to supplement that.
Because I know you've done other long distance swims in the past. How does this compare and what makes this different?
So when I did Cook Strait, it was between 14 and 15 degrees. So it was quite cold then, but it could be a lot colder than that. So, because quite a rough piece of water and it's less well known, not as many people have swum it. But from what we know, it seems like maybe the tides aren't quite as strong or unpredictable as Cook Strait. So that could make it easier. And then of course there's the sharks. There's way more sharks out in Fivo than in Cook Strait, which is like a big reason why I'm doing this swim, is to raise awareness for the sharks in that area and shark conservation in general, locally and globally. But there's definitely that added element of fear.
Yeah, well, so let's talk about that, the reason that you are swimming this strait. What was the inspiration for that?
I've wanted to do it for a really long time. And I think in the back of my mind, I've wanted to do it for sharks for a really long time as well. It just seems kind of fitting, especially because I've sort of been on this 3-year-long journey of making my way from Cape Reinga down to the bottom of New Zealand, campaigning about marine issues. And I think I was kind of like, oh man, I really need to do this. It's like a massive issue and someone needs to do something. There's not really a lot of awareness about how important sharks are in the ecosystem and all of the different ways that we are often actually unknowingly consuming shark and using shark products, and what we can do to stop that from happening.
What products use shark products without our knowledge?
Actually, quite a lot of vaccines. Some variations of the COVID-19 vaccine have shark products in them. Squalene, which is a cosmetic oil. There's lots of plant-based alternatives like olive oil, for example. Olive oil derived squalene, but it is still sold in quite a lot of products. It's also, shark is often in pet food. It's often mislabeled as other fish because it just gets caught in bycatch, and yeah, so that's also quite misleading, getting sold as different fish.
In some countries it is common to eat sharks. I feel like in New Zealand that's maybe not so much the case. What is the threat really that New Zealand sharks are facing?
I think our contribution unknowingly using shark products, like I said, with pet food and squalene, potentially vaccines, And then also I think that New Zealand can do a lot more to play its part in sort of being like a leader internationally in setting up regulations that will protect sharks. For example, restricting bycatch by stopping bottom trawling and really putting in place measures to stop trophy fishing of sharks, to grow awareness around how important sharks are, and increasing marine reserves is a massive thing that can help sharks and, you know, all marine creatures in the ocean, really. And we're surrounded by the ocean. We're such a coastal country. So, yeah, I definitely think we can do much more to play our part.
Yeah, so in terms of what you're hoping to achieve by doing this, what is that? I mean, raising awareness and seeing some of that policy change?
Definitely. I've been in touch with lots of different marine organisations, so I'm really keen to get lots of collaboration going in terms of working together to create solutions and working together to create pressure to make change, especially around things like marine reserves, which is one of the best things that we can do to create healthier oceans. I'm also going to be going around to talk to lots of schools, so ensuring that kids know about the issues that sharks face. So I've got a Facebook page and an Instagram page. It's called Swimming Fobo for Sharks, and I'll be posting updates about different ways that you can do your part to protect sharks, like, for example, avoiding those products that I talked about. I'll be going into that in more detail, and then just learning about the sort of role that sharks play and like all of the different ways that they're really important in the ecosystem.
Did you want to give an example of how sharks are important in ecosystems?
So one of the things that sharks do is they really keep the oceans healthy and balanced, and they do that a lot with fish stocks. So when fish get old and sick, they are easy prey for sharks, so the sharks are able to predate on them. And then if sharks aren't filling that role, then those fish survive for longer, more likely to reproduce, and then the fish genetic pool becomes weaker. Another example is one that can be seen over in Australia with tiger sharks. So there are these turtles which would be diving down and feeding on the seagrass at the bottom. And seagrass is obviously really important for providing lots of food and habitat for hundreds of different marine species. And when there were no sharks in the area, the sea turtles would dive down and just eat at the seagrass continuously until there was none of it left, and then that would result in a flow-on effect for all of these other marine organisms that really relied on that seagrass. And then when tiger sharks were sort of introduced into the area, even just the presence of the sharks resulted in the sea turtles not diving down as far out of survival instinct for not wanting to be eaten by a shark. And then the seagrass grew back and became healthier and then had all of these positive flow-on effects for marine organisms.
What about people who would say, though, that sharks eating fish, well, they're in competition with humans who want to be eating those same fish, and surely, you know, humans could do the same thing in terms of keeping those ecosystems, keeping those numbers under control?
Yeah, it's a point that gets raised a lot, that all of the science shows that having healthy shark populations actually results in more abundant fish life. So it's going against our own interests to be doing that.
You must admit, I mean, you've chosen a difficult animal to promote. You know, it's easy to get people on board with Save the Dolphins. How much thought have you sort of given to that idea of dispelling that prejudice around sharks, and how do you do that?
To be honest, it's something that I'm still struggling with myself. I think it's a really natural thing as a human to be really scared of sharks, especially when you're in the water, in the ocean, you're feeling really vulnerable, and I still have a big fear of them. But I think that it's possible to be scared of sharks, and maybe it's even not necessarily a bad thing. Like, I feel like fear often comes with respect in a way as well, or maybe we can turn that around and focus on the respect rather than the fear. But regardless of however scared you feel of sharks, the reality is that the idea of not having them in our oceans is a far scarier concept, at least if you think about it logically. They're just so crucial for the marine ecosystem, and because we're so connected to nature as well as humans, like, we are part of nature, we are animals, we are reliant on the ocean. Inevitably, the loss of sharks will lead to massive negative impacts for humans as well.
So if you come across a shark while you're swimming the Favo, you're going to just...
Yeah, I'm really lucky. I'm hopefully going to be having a really awesome crew down there of Phil Rush and Mike Cochran and people who I really trust with my life, actually. They're amazing. Couldn't ask for better people. So I'm hoping that they'll be able to spot anything first. And if there is a shark, then I probably will get out and just sit in the IRB, at least if it's close or if it's a great white, because Favo is a great white shark breeding ground. But probably if it's a great white, if we see one, it will be too late because they attack from below. But yeah, I definitely, if anything happened, which it's very, very unlikely, then I would never change my stance regardless.
That was Brianna Ward, who is swimming the Favo Strait to raise awareness for shark conservation. If you want to support her swim, you can go to Bree's Facebook page, Swimming Favo for the Sharks, and there you can also donate to the organisation Shark Allies and go into the draw to win some sweet prizes too.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.